This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. The discussion is very, very important today. We're going to be talking about some new research out of Washington State University by Dr. Michael Skinner's lab as it relates to the effects of dioxins. We've been talking about epigenetics on this show for a long time. You cannot take what you expose your body to lightly because of its effects on generations, people that aren't even here yet. And Dr. Skinner's lab is going to shed some light on the effects of dioxins. How you doing, Dr. Skinner?
Very good, thanks.
Okay, so before we get started with this discussion, I asked you politely before we started the interview if I could refer to you as the father of epigenetics, but actually the father of transgenerational epigenetics. Just talk about the research you were doing that when you stumbled upon this, the effects of the environment on genetic expression.
So basically, we were studying in a rat model the process of when the fetus turns into a male or female. So it's called sex determination.
Right.
And we were looking at that time during fetal development, and we decided to try a couple of environmental factors or toxicants to see if we could interfere with the process just to understand it. So when we did that, we, of course, because the fetus is directly exposed, we obtained animals that did develop disease. There was no effect on sex termination, so our original experiment sort of failed. But we found this disease in the adults as they got older, and then and reported that. And then basically there was a mistake in the lab. And so one of the fellows accidentally bred that, what's called the F1, the child, the F1 generation, to make an F2, like the next generation, which would be the grandchildren. And she was upset. I said, don't worry about it. Just go look at the disease rate in those animals, and they turned out to be the same. And so we actually then took it out four generations, and it basically maintained 90% of the males basically had a lower sperm count and testis defect. And so we sort of stumbled across the transgenerational phenomena. And since then we've gone back and shown sort of the molecular process involved, which is called epigenetics, and we've actually shown the same phenomena occurs with a half a dozen different environmental toxicants.
Now, how many generations do you feel this ripple of genetics will reach out once a host is exposed to one of these epigenetic disruptors?
Well, we've taken it out to the F5 and seen no major depression in terms of the frequency. Normally, in normal genetics, what you would normally do is you would get an effect. And then what's called Mendelian genetics is that each generation after that, you'd see a decline in the frequency of the effect.
Oh.
And so that's called a process in genetics called segregation. But basically, you see this depression over time, and so usually within four or five generations it would be lost as you brought new genetics in. Well, epigenetics doesn't work through normal genetics, and so we don't see that kind of phenomena. So therefore we have a higher rate of, let's say, 90% of the males being affected, and then basically it's maintained at 90% for five generations in a row. And so we anticipate that this is permanent and it would keep going. And we have experiments in hand to actually take it out another five generations to see just to confirm that.
Now, in epigenetics, it's understood that these modifications do not happen to the gene itself, correct?
Correct. Epigenetics is really defined as sort of those factors and molecular factors around the DNA that can affect how the genes are turned on and off. It's called genome activity, basically. How the genome or genome activity is altered, and that's turning genes on and off. But it doesn't involve any, it's independent of any DNA sequence. So the sequence doesn't matter. And so because it's around DNA and it regulates DNA activity, it's called epigenetics instead of genetics, which is really based on the DNA sequence. So that's the distinction between the two. And so, yes, it's basically a molecular factor that we've known has existed for a while, but we really didn't appreciate how important it was until quite recently when we have found these environmental impacts and other things as well.
Okay, so what is actually being transferred?
So it turns out that there's several different types of epigenetic molecular marks. One of them is called DNA methylation.
Bingo.
And so basically one of the nucleotides in the DNA, which is called a cysteine, gets chemically modified, and there's a small methyl group that's stuck onto it. It's chemically connected to it. By having that methyl group there, you can actually change the function of the DNA. And so basically what we do is, during this exposure of that sex determination period, it turns out that the germline that's going to turn into your sperm or your egg is being epigenetically programmed. The methylation program is being set in place. So when we do the environmental exposure, we change that programming. It becomes permanently imprinted, and so that means it's permanently sort of programmed. And then, when that person then has a next offspring, that altered epigenome is transferred. And then when the next person, it's permanent, next person has offspring, it does the same thing. So basically, this imprint of the DNA methylation gets transferred from generation to generation through your sperm or your egg.
Now, methylation is also known as part of the detoxification pathway. We've talked about methylation on several different shows over the years. Is there any way for individuals to affect their methylation of their DNA in a positive way? Should they have had people in their lineage that have been exposed to some of these epigenetic enforcer factors?
So part of the methylation process is there's an enzyme that takes a methyl group and then makes the chemical sort of link to the nucleotide. So it turns out that there have been a couple of experiments that have shown that if you put in a high amount of methyl donor, okay, like a folate is a vitamin that basically you can take, during the actual exposure, you can actually modify the process of methylation going on at that time. However, once it's been programmed, then basically there's no known way to alter it.
Wow.
So in other words, let's say you're a female during puberty, okay, when your mammary gland is developing. So your mammary epithelial cell is just starting to develop. Well, if you were exposed to an environmental toxicant, something like BPA from the plastics, at a high enough level, you could actually then shift the development of that mammary epithelial cell, and the epigenome would be put in place and it's programmed. Then if the toxicant was removed, it turns out that all the mammary cells generated from that point on have this altered epigenome. So that means 30 years later, this alteration can cause your genome, what genes are turned on and off, to be altered enough, the expression to be altered enough, to promote the disease onset. So therefore, it's that kind of a permanent programming. It's called mitotic stability. When the cell divides, it actually replicates its epigenome just like it does its DNA sequence to go to the next cell, and it keeps doing that from cell to cell to cell as it actually grows.
Okay.
So these are permanent sort of programming events, not transient things.
All right. One last question before we break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to get deep into the study that you produced. Are most epigenetic effectors also endocrine disruptors or hormone acting like agents?
The first few that we used were endocrine disruptors. These are toxicants or chemicals that interfere with normal hormone actions. However, we actually have recently tried a number of compounds that are not endocrine disruptors, and they also have effects. And so I think this is going to be much broader than just endocrine disruptors.
Yeah, I suspect as well. It's never, you know, we as humans, we just want, well, what is the one thing, but it never ever comes down to just one thing.
Right. Biology is a lot more complex than we appreciate.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the study. How it was designed and what you learned. We're talking with Dr. Michael Skinner from Washington State University. Very, very important discussion, folks, especially we're going to be talking about dioxins specifically, but there's more out there that causes these problems. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Michael Skinner this hour from Washington State University about a recently published study where they looked at the defoliant dioxin and its effect on transgenerational Epigenetics. Okay, so let's talk about the study. Explain the design of the study.
So this was a study designed to look at the potential that dioxin may promote epigenetic transgenerational inheritance. And so what that means is the germline is epigenetically modified. So your sperm or egg is epigenetically modified through the exposure. And then that gets transferred from generation to generation. So that's, it's called transgenerational. And it's inheritance in the sense that you have a specific disease phenotype associated with it, which then appears in subsequent generations. And so we designed the study to, it was a rat study, to expose them to dioxin during that fetal period of sex determination when a fetus turns into a male or female, and that determines whether you're going to egg produced or a sperm produced. So we did the exposure and then basically bred it out three generations. So this would be the great grandchild of the mother that was exposed during pregnancy. And then there was no other exposures except for that original mother, great-grandmother. And then we looked at the disease states in those animals and found several different disease states, pop-up kidney disease and several other things, suggesting that indeed dioxin can promote transgenerational disease.
Is there a gender difference in the epigenetic effects of dioxin? I've read somewhere that testosterone may actually cause men to have a greater toxic load when exposed than, say, women. Is there any difference between how the males and females' exposure reacts?
It depends on what you're... In general, for biological systems, no. In terms of what you're looking at, in terms of the disease state, yes, certain disease states can be different in a male or a female because of gender differences. So, for example, in this study, we found that the transgenerational kidney disease was more predominant in the males than the females. However, the females got a dramatic rate of ovarian disease. And so, again, the disease changes depending on the sex. So I think the biological effect is comparable. But some people will look at a specific system, and then when that system can be biased towards one sex or the other.
What kind of exposure, were these, the exposure rates of the rats, were these considered real-world exposure rates that we might see today as humans?
So this was not done as a risk assessment study. This was not done to sort of determine biological exposure sort of risk types things. This was a study done in rats, and the levels used in the rat were relatively low, but it's not necessarily ability for us to compare that to the human. It would probably be a little high levels for it, for the human. The odd thing is it's difficult to actually assess that because dioxin actually bioaccumulates in your fat. And so then when you're exposed, you can have a continual very low exposure, but it bioaccumulates, and then basically at some point you have a high rate of exposure, even though the environmental exposure was relatively low. And so so it's difficult to actually talk about dose and risk assessment, particularly if there was a long-term low-dose exposure, which then bioaccumulated and causes effects later on. So but this study was not done in the realm of a risk assessment study. It was more done as a proof of principle that you can get transgenerational effects with dioxin exposure.
Now, actually, dioxin may end up being used again in agriculture because Roundup Ready corn is spawning some superweeds. And the company that manufactures it is considering, I believe it's Monsanto, is considering the introduction of a watered-down version, just a diluted version of Agent Orange to combat. So we may see a new form of exposure to people who maybe their lineage was not originally exposed to high levels of dioxins in the near future. But you also mentioned to me that we're exposed to dioxins in a multitude of ways. What are some of the ways that we see dioxin coming into contact with humans?
Well, there have been Vietnam and Agent Orange was just one example, sort of a period where there was a high dose exposure. There have been several worldwide accidents where there's industrial accidents, one in Italy, one in Korea, and or Taiwan, and then basically there's been a couple of major accidents where there was huge populations exposed because of the accidents. But probably on a routine level, there are still industrial wastes and industrial pollution or contaminants being put into our environment, such that if you actually get a fish from the Great Lakes, more than likely it has residual dioxin contamination. And also, depending on where a lot of our food sources are, it's the same way. The problem with dioxin is it has a relatively long half-life. It can be around for decades. And so therefore, if it's in the soil or in the water supply, then basically it's something we need to worry about. So we do have low levels of dioxin exposure, nowhere near like it was sort of with Agent Orange and that type of thing. But those are our common supplies now. And so just like mercury and other contaminants, they come through our food supply, and it's something we need to be concerned about.
Well, I've read somewhere that a simple thing like a house fire, burning carpet, for instance, or carpeting, can release dioxins. And
right, a forest fire has been actually well established. It's sort of doing that. It's not a completely synthetic sort of thing. It is somewhat a natural type substance.
Okay, so it becomes a situation where it's virtually impossible to stay away from some form of dioxin exposure. Just because of jet fuel that's being burned and so on and so forth, it's out there. Is there anything that people can do to mitigate the potential epigenetic effects of dioxin?
Sure, there's two things that people need to realize. First is that we are exposed through our just general daily habits, what food supply we use. Our particular biggest source of contamination is our water source. And so people just need to be aware that if they have a water source that they're not sure how clean it is, then they should try to get purified water. Or if they have a food source that they're not quite sure about, again, they should find out about that and then basically determine whether it's appropriate or not to ingest. So you can be active in that level. But the most important thing to think about is when you get a disease and you're 50, it's not necessarily what you were doing when you were 50 or even when you were 48 or 47 or 45. It's probably what happened when you were in puberty or in the early postnatal after birth or in the fetus. Most disease is what is called is sort of early life exposures, which then causes a later life disease. The topic is called developmental origins of disease. So the vast majority of our exposures that cause disease more than likely came from very early life exposures. So the one thing you can do is to protect your children from exposure as much as possible. So be very conscientious. Pregnant women should be the most conscientious because the fetus is one of the most sensitive in terms of exposure. Early postnatal, you need to worry about the child's water source and food supply and everything else. So you need to protect your children as best as possible from contamination because that's what's going to cause disease later in their life.
I see a whole new business opportunity opening up, Dr. Skinner, where we fly pregnant women to the moon and let them stay there until they give birth. That's probably the only way that you're going to get out of the way of the potpourri of toxicants that we're exposed to on a day-to-day basis.
It may sound sort of ridiculous in a sense, but if we were to actually try to isolate and or protect the pregnant female, when she's pregnant, have more intense care for that, it definitely would help our healthcare system and reduce our disease load.
And, you know, one of my rants on this show is, you know, the whole debate about healthcare right now is so misguided because the analogy I've given on the show time and time again is, you know, you've got a cat, that cartoon when you were a kid, the cat's in the boat, the mouse pulls the cork out of the hole in the boat, the boat is taking on water, the cat is bailing water as quickly as possible, then finally the cat looks into the camera and it accepts the inevitable, the boat sinks. And, you know, the whole time as a child, you're looking at this and you're going, gee, he just needs to put the cork back in the hole.
And this whole debate about healthcare is so misguided because while everybody's talking about, well, we should bail the water with our left hand. No, we should bail the water with our right hand. Nobody's going, hey, why don't we plug the hole first? Why don't we find out why so many people are getting so ill today? And once we address that, once we address, you know, stopping the water that we're taking on, then let's talk about caring for the poor people that got caught up in the mess before we figured out how to stop the water from coming in. And this is one of my greatest frustrations.
So it turns out that a lot of the reason we do research is not so much for the environmental impact and so forth. We're actually trying to figure out what the molecular basis of disease is. And so, and a lot of researchers are out there doing that. And the reason we're doing that is the more information we can gain about how disease develops, what causes it, and just sort of markers and so forth, the mechanism, the more we can actually then come up with better diagnostics and therapeutics for disease. And so therefore, research being put into, money is being put into research is absolutely required, but over the past 10 years, there's been a dramatic decrease in the amount of research money available for us. But, to sort of change, ideas here, for the past 50 to 60 years, we've been living in an environment of science and in terms of our society, where the number one thing we think about is DNA. So therefore, the DNA sequence is one of the drivers. Genetics is one of the main drivers. It's the building blocks for all of biology. That concept is called genetic determinism. And so the concept is there's some sort of mutation in the DNA that then leads to a later life disease onset. That concept is so prevalent in our society today that 90% of all funding goes to that type of research, and most scientists are those types of people doing that kind of genetic determinism. It has been very, very helpful for the advancement of science to have that sort of area and have a progression and an advance of the genetics area. But what we're now finding is if we take a specific disease like breast cancer or prostate cancer and then try to find the genetic abnormality, there's a very small percentage of patients with a genetic abnormality. With breast cancer, it's less than 5%. With prostate cancer, we really don't have any. So therefore, after 20, 30 years of looking, no major disease has been shown to have a predominant genetic abnormality. Well, you can say that maybe we haven't looked hard enough, but I would say maybe it's something else.
Yeah.
So therefore, I really feel that environmental epigenetics is really where this disease potentially comes from. So the fact that we've shown transgenerational effects means what we were exposed to in the 50s was probably going to affect our disease today, and with all of our diseases going up so significantly, sometimes an order of magnitude within 20 to 30 years, those ancestral exposures probably have something to do with our frequency of disease today.
You know, and hence the emerging science of metabolomics, where scientists are now looking at metabolites of food in a broad spectrum without a defined, well, let's see if it does this, just looking at what happens when humans eat foods and how those metabolites affect the body, which is, you know, let's face it, food is part of the environment. It's part of our exposure. We have to take a quick commercial break. We're going to pick it up on the other side of the break. We're talking with Dr. Michael Skinner from Washington State University. This is a really, really important topic. It's not given enough attention. As Dr. Skinner points out, you know, we're all looking at, well, do I have the genes for this? Do I have the genes for that? The genes are the gun. The environment is the finger on the trigger. And whether the gun gets fired or not depends on what you expose yourself to, and what you expose yourself to is going to affect your great-grandchildren as well. I know that puts a lot of pressure on us, but it's knowledge is power. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you want to outlast
fast, out-muscle, and out-perform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Two of H-Force's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, D-aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the H-Force banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Supremo Radio. My guest this hour is Dr. Michael Skinner from Washington State University. Dr. Skinner, you know what I was really surprised at when I read this press release?
Mm-hmm.
That the study was funded by the U.S. Department of Defense, and obviously NIH is involved a lot, but the U.S. Department of Defense, only because one would think, you know, one would be suspicious that the government wants to sidestep any culpability to effects of generational effects of dioxin after what happened in. I have to applaud them. I can't believe that they were behind this.
I'm not as quite as negative on industry and government. Basically, yes, I think the Department of Defense would very much like to know what some of the, and the reason they did this study was not just for dioxin, but a wide number of other exposures. They wanted to know if there were potential transgenerational considerations with some of the major environmental exposures the military are exposed to. And so they helped choose a number of these different environmental compounds, and then we did the studies to see, indeed, And dioxin was chosen particularly for the Agent Orange sort of thing. It's not a major environmental military exposure today, but it, certainly it was back in the 60s and 70s.
Can you discuss any of the other epigenetic triggers that you are studying right now?
In terms of the environmental chemicals?
Yeah.
One of the first ones we actually studied was a compound called vinclozolin. And vinclozolin is one of the most widely used fungicides worldwide in the agriculture industry, particularly in the fruit and vegetable industry. And so that was one of our first observation was really with vinclozolin. And it also promoted a transgenerational effect and epigenetic phenomena. The second one we used was methoxychlor, which was the replacement for DDT. It's a pesticide. It's an endocrine disruptor as well. It's much better than DDT because it has a very short half-life, and so that's really what's needed. But it also promoted some transgenerational effects as well. And we've also used things like we used jet fuel, which was a hydrocarbon mixture, which was not an endocrine disruptor. It was actually just a hydrocarbon mixture, and we were actually thinking this would be a negative, but it turned out to be a positive as well. And people are exposed to jet fuel not because of use in the jets, but because they actually spray, it's like diesel, on the road surfaces to prevent dust.
Oh, wow.
And so in rural America, we actually exposed pretty heavily to hydrocarbons, as well as all of our oil spills were exposed to hydrocarbons as well. So that's a major environmental sort of exposure as well. And another one that we tested was a pesticide mixture of DEET and permethrin, which are the two most commonly used human pesticides. Interestingly, this mixture did not promote F1 generation effects, but it did promote the transgenerational effects. So that was somewhat of a surprise.
Well, so wait a minute. F1 is the first line of offspring, right?
Right. That's the fetus that's directly exposed. It's called the F1. When it's born.
So the F1, the children of the F1 had something then?
So yes, but the children and the grandchildren, correct.
So wow, that's amazing.
It wasn't the direct exposure that caused the effect on the fetus, but it was the germline programming. So until the germline passed it on to the next generation, we didn't see anything.
That's pretty amazing. Have you looked at BPA at all?
Yes, and then we looked at the plastics, both BPA and the phthalates.
Yeah,
and we and other labs have actually shown that those will cause transgenerational effects as well.
And, you know, I did my first show on phthalates in 2007 when the Rockefeller Foundation, their foundation on population study, they released one of the earliest studies showing that phthalates was an anti-androgen. It has a great affinity to the androgen receptor.
Mm-hmm. Right, one of them.
So both of these have a transgenerational. Are the transgenerational effects of, say, BPA and phthalates Do they go out even further to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 generations, or do you just go up to a certain point and say, look, we really don't need to know more than this?
So far, we're stopping. By the time it gets to the great-grandchild, it's like the first transgenerational generation with no exposure is the F3 generation, so that would be the great-grandchild. And so basically in those individuals, as they develop, those are the transgenerational phenotypes. And so most of our studies stop there. But we've taken a couple of compounds out to the F4, F5, like we mentioned earlier. The vinclozolin we probably studied the most in terms of extended. And like I said, it appears, at least so far, we can take it out to the F5 and has the same sort of phenotype.
That's so scary.
And so, yes, it's basically sort of the concept is this is much more than just disease. In other words, there's areas like evolutionary biology that have primarily depended on the idea that there's random DNA sequence mutations that are driving evolution for natural selection. Well, if we can actually take an environmental exposure, like let's say what diet the animals are eating, like a plant, whether it's a soy diet or whether it's a wheat diet, change the epigenome in this germline, and then get that transferred to all subsequent progeny from there on, this could have an influence on basically evolutionary biology. So this epigenetics is not just a disease-oriented thing. It actually influences all areas of biology.
Yeah, no, I'm a big believer in what you said. You know, what's going on right now in a lot of the discoveries about, and you invoked, you know, soy and wheat. There's a lot of information coming out about consumption of soy and wheat and how it affects us, and maybe even in the etiology of certain diseases. And I believe that this is a new form of evolutionary selection pressure. It's being introduced by our food.
Well, the food, traditionally through historic time and everything else, and still today, the largest environmental impact that we'll have is our food and diet. In other words, when you eat a plant, you're literally exposed to hundreds of compounds that are in that plant, far more than you will be exposed during the day to environmental toxicants that might be in the environment. So yes, our diet and nutrition is really one of our biggest environmental exposures, and so that's why we need to be very cautious about what is our diet and nutrition and potentially also the water source.
I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about epigenetics from a different standpoint. I have to believe that some epigenetics is good. So let's talk about that when we come back. We're talking with Dr. Michael Skinner from Washington State University. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSups.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices. Two of H-Force's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, the aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The power patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a 2-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the H-Force banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger manager immediately.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Take it back.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Dr. Skinner, there's a great interest in the hormetic effects of different things and how hormesis can actually make the organism stronger. Obviously, we're talking about epigenetic effects that make the organism weaker or more susceptible to disease. Are there any examples of epigenetics at work that actually have improved the human condition?
So let me step back just for a second to start to answer that question. Epigenetics is a completely normal part of biology that evolved at the same time genetics did. So in other words, there's probably not a genetic process, DNA process, that doesn't involve epigenetics as a normal control mechanism for the genome. So in other words, throughout development, every single organ system we have, every single cell system we have, epigenetics is playing a role in how the genome functions, and the two work together to have normal biology. Okay? So you can't see epigenetics as something new or abnormal. Epigenetics is part of the system. We just didn't pay attention to it for a long time because it wasn't genetics. So, with that sort of preamble, yes, it's easy for us to actually do an exposure, change the normal epigenetics, and then develop a disease. However, that's a random sort of process, and so I would anticipate over time there's probably just as many good things happening than bad things happening. It's just much harder for us to see or look at the good things.
Right.
I mean, if you increase your intelligence, or you increase slightly your lifespan, or you increase the function of a given organ system, it's really hard to actually detect those types of things. It's much easier for us to see some abnormality or disease state. So I anticipate that, you know, part of the evolutionary process is we're going to have just as many good things happening as bad things happening, and the balance of those will determine whether a natural selection occurs. So it's sort of a broader answer to your question, but yes, there's epigenetics is just as many good things as bad.
Famine seems to have an epigenetic effect. Is that not correct, or are you familiar with that at all?
So there's a number of vitamins like folate is important. Let's say a methyl donor to DNA methylation, which is an epigenetic process. The problem is that if you take too much folate, it can be just as harmful as it was good. So you have to be very cautious about these types of supplements, that if you overdo it, you're actually causing more harm than you are good. If you have a low folate diet, taking some folate to get you up to normal is a really important thing to do. So that's the way I would sort of view a lot of these things that definitely influence the epigenetic process. But there's a balance. You can actually go good or bad based on the level that you're using.
What do you want people to take away from this most recent study to come out of your lab about dioxins?
That we need to start thinking about two things. One is that what your ancestors were exposed to may play a significant role in what disease you have. It's not just what you're exposed to today that's causing the events. It's actually potentially what your ancestors are exposed to. And the way you can take something from that is you got to worry about your kids. What your kids are exposed to is probably going to affect their disease when they're older. And if you're a pregnant mother, you may be actually influencing not only your children, but your grandchildren. And so people need to be very cautious about, it's not just what you're exposed to in your disease anymore. It's actually subsequent generations that we need to be concerned about.
You know, on that note, I have to reflect back to a show we did last week with Adele Musa, who's a contributor to the show. You know, we've had a love affair with alcohol. And so much so that science is working so hard to show the benefits of alcohol consumption so that we can feel less guilt about using alcohol. But clearly, alcohol has an epigenetic effect on DNA. We're seeing that with every new study that comes out. Yet the other side wants to tell us, well, resveratrol and polyphenols and some alcohol is good and most centenarians claim that they drank alcohol every day and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I admit on this show, I use alcohol because of its drug-like effects, but I will not be lulled into the idea that somehow it's better for me to use it than not. If it is good for you, then you should give it to your children too, because it'll be good for them. Are you, would your lab ever look at, or have you ever looked at the epigenetic effects of alcohol? Because clearly there has been very little cessation of its use through, you know, since 2000 years.
We've not looked at alcohol, but it's fairly well established that alcohol is a major, has major developmental effects, particularly during fetal development and early life. So you definitely don't want to give your children alcohol. Even during puberty, there's developmental systems going on during puberty that can be affected by the alcohol as well. Now, as an adult, we're fairly resistant to these things, and so therefore, as an adult, the alcohol doesn't have so severe effect that it would if you were a fetus. There has been some studies by a woman in Australia, Emma Whitelaw, that did show some epigenetic effects of the alcohol causing generational effects in the offspring of the individuals. And so, yes, alcohol can shift the epigenetics. I think most environmental insults will actually shift the epigenetics, whereas most environmental insults can't change the DNA sequence. They can change the epigenetics. And so this epigenetics is really the conduit of how environmental things like alcohol have a developmental effect.
You know, I can't help but think of, I would imagine that most children are conceived under the influence of alcohol, and the moms may even have a few more drinks weekend after and weekend after that until they realize that they're pregnant. And, you know, so alcohol clearly has a potential to be introduced into the fetal forming process pretty early on. But I can't help but think of myself. I'm 54 years old. My mother admitted to me when I was in my 30s that she both smoked cigarettes and used Librium, which was an early benzodiazepine, I believe, during her pregnancy with me. And I can't help but wonder what effects that had on me, but what effects it's had on my offspring, on my children. It's you know, because we've been so, what's the word, cavalier. You know, we think that we're humans, we're smart, we know everything, we invented medicine, we're smarter than nature, we can do these things. And, you know, it's coming back to roost that we were really, really wrong. You know, it's amazing.
Right. And so the way to think about it is, when there's a rapid developing system, then you're most susceptible to an environmental insult that's going to last and actually affect you later. And so I think that's something to take form. So yes, your mother having alcohol and the use of medicines and things like that when she was pregnant definitely could have an effect on you as an individual. Only if it influenced the germline, the sperm or the egg, would it actually become transgenerational. And that's something that needs to be looked at much more, is how often that occurs.
You know, it would take forever to do epigenetic analysis of everything that we come in contact with.
But I think we're going to see more of those types of studies in the near future, because now we know that the epigenetics is more than likely the trigger of what's responding to the environment.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Very, very exciting. And the work that you're doing is very, very exciting. I want to thank you for taking time to come on the show today.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. Great dialogue. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will wrap up the show. I want to talk about tomorrow's show. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER to today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Super Human Radio. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Monsanto wants to reintroduce Agent Orange at a 50% strength to deal with the super weeds that they have created in using Roundup and Ready Roundup corn and soy. It's scary. As Dr. Skinner points out, today we don't have the exposure that we had back in Vietnam when they were literally raining down Agent Orange on foliage to destroy it so that the soldiers could see what they were doing in the thickest brush in Vietnam. Imagine now, fast forward to today, that Monsanto gets approval to use Agent Orange in a 50% dilution to spray on corn and soy and other produce. And then you get that at home and you feed it to your children and you eat it yourself. I don't know. Haven't we learned anything in the past 100 years from what we are seeing in the as it relates to disease states, as Dr. Skinner points out, the things that our parents were exposed to, the things that we're exposed to, and the things that are going to happen to our children? Does anybody really want to be the test guinea pigs for this new Agent Orange exposure on conventionally grown produce? I don't want to. And what I'm afraid of is once it's out there and it's in the soil, it's in the air, if they're spraying this stuff and it's picked up by birds and bees and the natural process of the ecology, it's going to be everywhere. And all of a sudden we're going to see lymphoma and all those poor guys who came home from Vietnam, so many of them died terrible deaths from cancers that were caused by exposure to Agent Orange. When will we learn? When will we learn? When will we learn not to just sit back and have some agency like the FDA say, it's okay, it's safe, in these kind of amounts it won't hurt you? When will we learn that we've been fooled before, not once, not twice, not three times, hundreds of times, hundreds of times, hundreds of times? It's scary. It's really, really scary. I mean, you know what? The government won't have any taxes to collect if we're all sick. I don't understand what they're thinking. But, okay. Anyway, tomorrow is Thursday, which means that we will have another installment of the Subversity Science Roundup. And I'm sure that the brilliance of Adele Moussa will shine a light and weigh in on the discussion here today. I want to thank everybody for listening to Superhuman Radio today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.